A new movie collection has been released on Blu-ray, and it's a must-see for film fans. Film critic Jay Hoberman wrote in the New York Times, "From the perspective of cinema history, and American history for that matter, there has never been a more significant release. It is Pioneers of African American Cinema, a five-disc set that features restored films from black filmmakers dating back to 1915. Kino Lorber released the collection, which features 16 feature-length films, some short films and documentaries, fragments of lost films and trailers. Filmmakers like Oscar Michaud, Spencer Williams, Pearl Bowser, and author Zora Neale Hurston. Martin Scorsese says this very special collection illuminates one of the most fascinating and unjustly neglected corners of American movie history. So, let's pay some attention. Charlene Register is Associate Professor in the Department of African, African American, and Diaspora Studies at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And Professor, so you hear these accolades from others. Your thoughts on this new release?
Yes, this is very important because most of these films are inaccessible, particularly if you teach film history. And so you would have to go to a variety of archives in order to have access to some of these films. And these films were actually assembled from the Library of Congress, the Museum of Modern Art, the National Archives, Southern Methodist University, UCLA Film Archives, George Eastman Museum. So a variety of archives came together to contribute whatever they had in their collection to assemble this reemergence of black cinema.
And released by the company Kino Lorber. Well, start with Oscar Michaud, self-taught filmmaker. He was a Pullman porter, a South Dakota homesteader, and then a dogged filmmaker. More than 10 of Michaud's works are in the set, including his 1925 Body and Soul. It's a silent film, but just your thoughts on, you know, Body and Soul and Oscar Michaud's works.
Okay, Body and Soul featured Paul Robeson in his first screen role, and many people forget that he was in an all-black cast film, Michaud's film, before he appeared in other films. And the film is really about a corrupt minister who exploits a faithful church member's daughter and tries to extort money from her. And at the end of the film, the woman dies, and the church members come to their sort of sense about who he really is. And at the end of the film, you see the church members running behind him.
So tell us more about the fact that, you know, this is entertainment and perhaps even a little bit of a cautionary tale about a corrupt minister. But for black audiences, these were not just black actors, but black filmmakers. These were called race films.
Okay, and race films were designed to appeal to black audiences because the films that were released by the mainstream industry did not, to some extent, speak to their desires, their culture, their religious beliefs. And Body and Soul, because it is about this minister, is about how religion can be used sometimes to influence African Americans in a negative way, and how this corrupt preacher becomes indicative of that. And when we look at many of Michaud's films, he was very critical of African American ministers who misled their audiences. So I think the film served two purposes, to both entertain as well as alert them of persons who might exist like this in the African American community.
Hmm. The oldest film in the collection, 1915, Two Nights of Vaudeville. It was produced by Ebony Film Corporation in Chicago. Now, they employed black artists, but it was a white-owned company. Flying Ace from 1926, directed by Richard E. Norman, a white filmmaker who produced films starring African-Americans. Talk a little bit about the intersection of whites and blacks in these early African-American films.
Well, apparently a number of white filmmakers recognized that there was money to be made off black audiences, so they too began to participate in creating films designed to appeal to these audiences. And in particular, with respect to Ebony Film Corporation, there's some criticism in the press where they provided damaging and denigrating images of African-Americans, even though they are hiring all these black actors. Richard Norman, who was affiliated with the Norman Film Manufacturing Company, he, in fact, provided a much more positive representations of African-Americans. So his films were more well-received within the African-American community.
Hmm. The 1941 film, The Blood of Jesus, by Spencer Williams, according to Jay Hoberman, this is the most successful of the race movies made, screened for years in church basements and black-only theaters. Let's listen to a scene from this. It's about a man who accidentally shoots and kills his wife, and then the journey of her soul. Here she meets her temptress, Judas Green, an agent of Satan who's offering her fancy new clothes. Satan can be seen. He's watching through the trees. And then the other voice is that of an angel. Let's listen.
You'll be needing something like that in the city. And look, here are shoes to match it. And just to think, they're your size. And they are all yours, too.
Be not over anxious for what you shall put on. Life is a more wonderful gift than clothing for the body.
Why, in the city, a girl would be a queen with those on. And you know you've got to wear clothes. The law says so.
Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Go ahead and keep them. They don't cost you anything.
Okay, I know it was a very important film because it was about black religion. And even though this black woman is shot, it's about her faith that she will come back to life, which she does. But at the same time, the film is also about people who are lured by the inner city and by the sins associated with the inner city versus those who are affiliated with a much calmer and less seductive kind of life. So it's about the juxtaposition of those two worlds, the evil world and the sacred, I suppose.
Well, and that faith, religion shows up a lot in these films. James and Eloise Gist were husband and wife evangelists in the 1930 Hellbound Train and Heavenbound Traveler. These were dramatized sermons?
To some extent, they were. And this is actually a very short film. Eloise Gist was from Washington, D.C. And it also has this sort of moral that if you follow the world or the lead of sin, you will, you know, end up with a very harsh life as opposed to following the word of, you know, the omnipotent being. Mm. And what is interesting is that in this film, and this is also something I noticed in another film, they equate this pursuit of a better life, of a more moral life, with traveling on a train. So the metaphor of the train becomes a way of how they are able to access this more moral world versus an immoral world. And this is an interesting kind of metaphor because it speaks to modernity and how blacks viewed train and travel as a way of transformation or transcending oneself.
Huh. There are, of course, lighter films. There's the 1939 Bronze Buckaroo. It's an interpretation of cowboy movies with an all-black cast. Here's a scene. They're singing in a saloon.
Took my room, went to town with some gal and played around. And she cut my bank, rolled out her payday blue. Rolled a dice to my surprise. Not so nice to snake eyes. And I never will get wise. Oh, get the payday blue. Now I am confessing. Got that gambling craze. Will I learn my lesson? Oh, I'll be broke for 30 days.
Charlene Register, how much of this filmmaking was subversive? We see in other films there's mocking of blackface.
In many of these films, it was an attempt to subvert the caricatures. In fact, there's one scholar who refers to this phenomenon of what he calls hybrid minstrelsy. And he's basically saying that when white actors performed on stage as minstrels, they imitated African Americans. But then blacks in some way subvert that when they take these caricatures and replace themselves as African American actors who are performing imitations of blackness themselves. So in that way, I guess it could be regarded as subversive.
And according to just about everybody who's reviewing these were the first independent filmmakers. These are the first indie films.
Oh, yes, particularly with people like Oscar Michaud. Also, there were the Lincoln Motion Picture Company, George and Noble P. Johnson. They were among some of the first filmmakers. And, of course, William Foster out of Chicago. None of his films survived, but he, too, represents some of the early first in terms of black filmmaking and recognizing that black audiences wanted to see images of themselves on screen. And it was not only for U.S. audiences, but there was also an international market for some of these films.
Well, indie filmmakers, pay attention. These are your forefathers. Charlene Register, Associate Professor in the Department of African American, and Diaspora Studies at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, on this new collection, Pioneers of African American Cinema, a five-disc set featuring restored films from black filmmakers dating back to 1915. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. Professor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fall inside of here.
music from Spencer Williams' 1941 film, The Blood of Jesus. And we mentioned Oscar Micheaux, who died in 1951 and is buried in Great Bend Cemetery in Great Bend, Kansas, where he grew up. His gravestone reads, "A man ahead of his time." Well, he may be a new name to some of us, but just how much ahead of his time he was is seen in the esteem in which he's held. There was a 2014 documentary about his life. There's an Oscar Micheaux Society at Duke University. In 1987, he received a posthumous star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The Producers Guild of America created an annual award in his name. Gregory, South Dakota, holds an annual Oscar Micheaux Film Festival. And the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame in Oakland, California, every year hosts the Oscar Micheaux Award. Attention must be paid, and apparently it is.